The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Normally, I would have a couple of pleasantries with you, but we have some breaking news as we get ready to start Dark Side of the Pooch. Normally you and I talk for 10 or 15 minutes, but I'm like, this is too juicy. So I just hit the record button. I'm like, let's go in. But you're saying we probably shouldn't go. By the way, this is Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rosbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301, rosbridgevet.com. I'm Tony Curry here on Tony Curry Radio, our longest running show, Dark Side of the Pooch. We talk about pet care. Got a lot to get into. You have breaking news. What do we got going on?
Breaking. This is late breaking news. I don't really know much about it, to be honest with you, which is not the way you want to start a breaking news segment. You want to be sure that, you know, you want to be the authority. You know exactly what's going on.
Absolutely.
But right now, Dr. Johnson, one of our other veterinarians, is about to cut open a cat and see if it ate something, and that something is still lodged in its stomach or intestines. So that is where we are at. And okay. We are all on the edge of our seat moment by moment.
All right. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and, of course, to that poor little kitty cat. What were the symptoms of this cat when it came in?
So the owner said the cat hadn't eaten in about 5 days.
Okay.
So, you know, we're about, you know, probably 2 days longer than we would like to be. I'll give a dog or a cat the benefit of the doubt for 1 day for sure. 2 days, after 2 days, I'm getting worried.
Okay.
So, you know, 5 days of not eating in any animal is just way too long.
Yeah. What was the cat lethargic then? Was it not acting right?
It has vomited. Okay. It has vomited several times.
Okay.
And its blood work is all normal.
Okay.
So, you know, there's nothing really to go on the blood work. The x-rays look a little bit suspicious. Like there could be a foreign object in the stomach.
So normally if you would have no blood work, anything to go on blood work, then you're going pure obstruction.
I mean, sometimes you have to kind of look at what the x-rays are telling you. And these x-rays do look a little bit suspicious.
Do you have the x-rays with you? Can we look at this, please?
I can move you. Do you guys want to take a tour?
Sure. I'd like to see the x-rays for our listening audience, because we want to, right. And you can kind of show me where you think that you see this obstruction, because I would think that you'd be able to see an obstruction pretty well in an x-ray. Would you not?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But we can take a tour and I'll show you.
Yeah. Cause I'd like to know what that looks like. And I think most of us who have had x-rays before, we look at x-rays, we can't tell what the hell we're looking at. And doctors are like, you know, when I had my neck done, he's like, oh, you got this thing here and here, here, here. And I'm like, I don't see anything. But maybe you can point those out to us and show us what exactly we're looking at.
Sure. All right. Let's get it pulled up here.
What's the cat's name, so we can throw some prayers out?
Cat's name is Luna.
Luna. And how old is Luna? What kind of cat is Luna?
She's 5 years old.
Oh, she's five. Okay.
All right.
Regular kind of cat, like a mutt cat.
I have not laid eyes on her.
Okay.
To be honest with you.
Okay. And how long will this procedure take, he's doing?
Oh, it depends. Maybe an hour or two.
Wow, really? So it's pretty long. Okay.
All right.
All right. So tell me what we're looking at here.
All right. So the head of the cat is down here.
Uh-huh.
Head is down here. That's the heart.
Okay.
These are the lungs.
Uh-huh.
This is the cat's spine.
Okay.
All right. And this is the stomach.
Okay.
So right here, yeah, kind of have, can you see that? Can you see my pen here?
Uh-huh.
All right. So that's what we would call a soft tissue opacity. And a soft tissue opacity could potentially be a foreign object.
Okay.
There's a little bit of gas in the stomach right there.
What would normally be there where you put the pen around? I see a mass there. What would normally be there would just be nothing?
Air. Maybe food.
Okay.
But this doesn't really look like food. And also the cat hasn't eaten in 5 days. So we would expect nothing to be in here.
Okay.
If someone hasn't eaten in 5 days, we would expect this to be a big black hole.
Okay. And so what is that dark thing to its right? Is that a black hole?
Yeah, this is a black hole. Okay. This is the colon, and that's poop in the colon. Poop, poop, poop.
Oh, so it hasn't gone poop. And what's that long stringy thing you got your pen on right now?
Yeah. So this is the small intestine.
Oh, that's cool. It looks like a large tapeworm.
Yeah, a large tapeworm.
Yeah.
That's one kidney, and that's another kidney.
Oh, that's super interesting. So to go back to this obstruction again, if it were, say, a necklace, would you be able to see it?
Yeah, because the necklace is going to be metal.
Okay. So we're thinking what, what do we think it is? If it is an obstruction, what do we think it is? Like a piece of cloth or something? Or
yeah, potentially. Okay. But here in this view, you can see this is the cat's laying on its back now. Uh-huh. The head is up here.
Yeah.
And then the tail's down here. So this is the area on this view that is questionable. So it's in kind of the same location on the other view. You see it in a little bit different spot here, because when they're in the VD, you're kind of looking, you know, left to right.
Yeah.
And when you're in the lateral view, you're looking kind of front to back.
Yeah.
You know,
I got you.
So anyway,
very
right there, right there could be the trouble spot.
Well, please let us know if something breaks in the next 30 minutes while we're doing our show. Please let me know again. You know, our animals are part of our families. And I just read something very interesting in Psychology Monthly. I guess it's Psychology Monthly because the magazine comes out. We always talk about how people are using their animals as therapy animals or therapy pets, more so now than we ever have. And there was a very interesting read in this magazine in that just because you have an animal doesn't mean you're healthier because of it. You have to have a relationship with your animal in order to reap the benefits of having an animal. Does that make sense? And I really didn't think about that, because a lot of people are like, isn't it great having a dog? And I'm like, you know, it wasn't particularly beneficial for me for a while, because even on my worst day, I'd get home and all this thing wanted was a belly rub and food. You know, it wouldn't just sit there and stare at me. It would wake me up in the middle of the night because it had to go outside. You know, but once I took it on as more of a pal and realized what it was all about and why it was doing what it was doing, including taking a leak on my recliner, which it did again last week. And I still don't understand that. I'm just kind of over it. I'm like, whatever. I bought it a brand new bed and it peed in its bed, which I'm like, why are you peeing your own bed? I'm like, okay, you're going to lay in it. You know, it's fine. But he's behind me, but I take him for walks all the time. You know that, but at least I understand him a little bit now, and we have more of an understanding. And now I thoroughly enjoy having him around. I could actually have a conversation with him. I don't know.
You got to spend time with them. You know, you got to hang out with them.
Yeah.
You gotta,
but you just having a, just having an animal around you doesn't mean that you're healthier for it. A lot of people think you just throw a bunch of cats in with an old woman and she's going to be happy because it's not true. You have to have one relationship with it. Speaking of cats, I don't know if you saw this. Wild Coast Raw of Olympia, Washington. Have you seen this?
No.
Has recalled its frozen, boneless, free-range chicken formula raw pet food for cats, according to a March 1st announcement from the USDA. The product could potentially contain the highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPA1 and H5N1. The statement cautioned animals who eat contaminated food can contract the virus. What if you pull up pets and you Google the news, I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, it's like the story. So evidently this is kind of a breaking thing here, another breaking news story. So I didn't realize that you could get this flu from contamination of food. Does that surprise you at all? Or is it something that am I scratching my head over something goofy here?
No, it surprises me, you know.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten anything in my publications yet that, you know, indicate that. I mean, I'm always under the impression that flu is an airborne aerosol respiratory, you know, virus that, you know, that's how you get it, not through ingesting it. So, I would say I would need to do a little research on that before I, you know, took that to the bank.
Yeah, it's in Good Housekeeping, voluntary recall of Wild Coast boneless chicken formula. They're following bird flu infections in Oregon cats. Evidently, it's happening in Oregon as well. So something to just look at. So it's kind of interesting here. 2080301, Dark Side of the Pooch. This is our podcast we do every week here with Dr. Rab Stewart. It's one of our favorites. I love it. And I've known Dr. Rab for a long time. He's a brother from a different mother. He's a wonderful man. And runs, and I was out there by your store today. I almost stopped in to see you again. I almost came down and thought we could do the podcast from your store because
as
I was working Ross Bridge. So we possibly could have done that. Maybe the next time I'm out that way, I'll do that. So that's pretty good stuff. And of course, it's always brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Sasquatch Toys and Comics is owned by the same guy that owns Ed's Pet World. You may have seen some news that he's selling Ed's. Don't get ahead of yourself. The building's for sale, but they may be moving the business. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. But anyway, Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Comics from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, toys that are still unboxed and stuff, Star Wars stuff, Legos, you name it, they got it at Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in a beautiful Homewood. You could find them, Google that name, and you'll find what you're looking for. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net, info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Jade in Birmingham kind of had a heart-wrenching email here, and it's about a three-page email, and I actually saw it a couple of days ago, but I wanted to bring it up. But she actually bought, she said she had heard our show a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about puppy mills and what you should do when you buy an animal and how what you should be looking for, what kind of questions you should ask. She evidently bought some type of purebred animal, and it died the second day she had it when she brought it home. No. And now, of course, she can't find this individual. The phone number is disconnected. And she has no clue. She's driven out there where the guy was evidently living, and the place is empty. She's like, I don't really know what to do. I'm not really going to ask you a question. Just be careful out there. So do you have any words of advice to people that I see this all the time. My friend that used to work at the radio station, you remember Jamie? He got, what kind of dog did he get?
It was a blue heeler, right?
It was a blue heeler. It was an Australian Shepherd. It was pure Australian Shepherd, and he spent like $2,100 on this dog. And I was like, wow. And it was in line with some famous, I don't know what it was, but it was a reason why it was so expensive. It's not my money, but I was like, wow, I would never spend that kind of money on an animal unless it was from a champion breed or something. And, he had it, and then he wanted to take it back. Cause after about 5 or 6 days, they're crazy. I mean, you have to put a lot of time into an animal that likes to run. I mean, I had conversations with you. He was up all hours in the night. He was trying to kennel train it. The thing was eating everything. Of course, it was like his first animal he'd ever had. I'm like, dude, I mean, this is standard stuff here, man. This is like having a child. It's like having a baby. I mean, it will keep you up all hours of the night. Don't think you can just, you know, it barks. It makes noises. It licks itself and does things. And so he wanted to take it back, and the guy wouldn't take it back. And I said, well, tell people there should be some type of arrangement. If I'm spending $2,000 on an animal and it just ain't working, I should be able to take that animal back, or at least you should have some type of agreement with that trainer that you can bring it back or get some of your money back. And some people, I can't believe somebody be willing to put that money out there and say, listen, if this doesn't work out, what are we going to do? Because it's a large investment.
Well, most breeders will have a health guarantee if they're reputable breeders. You know, they'll have a health guarantee where, you know, if you take the dog to the vet for the first time, and they'll make you take it within a certain period of time to have it checked out. And if there's something wrong with it, we'll take it back. But from like a behavioral standpoint, you know, it's almost like when you buy a dog, it is kind of buyer beware. Because if it's just not working out with your lifestyle, in my opinion, you should have done your homework.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, you should know that Australian Shepherds have a lot of energy. You should know that crate training is not easy. You should know that puppies are going to pee and poop in your house, and you're going to have to get up at all hours of the night for the first several weeks.
And I will agree with you that this trainer shouldn't have to take it back, and he shouldn't have to give him anything for it, because that's on him. Health wise, it's kind of going along with
this. Health wise is a different story.
With this email that this woman wrote, there should be some type of
there should be a health guarantee, and reputable breeders will have that in writing. But you know, the unfortunate thing is you know, you can have as many fail safes as you want, but sometimes people are just going to scam you. And even if you say, okay, look, I'm interested in getting an animal from you, but can you give me some references? Can you give me some people that I can call? Well, I mean, all they have to do is have five friends that'll lie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even that's not foolproof, but you know, I would just do as much homework as you can. You know, if they have it's almost like a business. You know, if a business has a website and they have a physical location, and things seem like they're, you know, you can check to be sure they put time and effort into building a business of some kind, then that's going to be probably what you would want to go with, rather than, you know, somebody who doesn't really have any type of leg to stand on.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are just amazed that there's actually scam artists with live animals. And I mean, if you're selling a piece of furniture or a piece of land or something, it's an object that you know, I understand that it's still wrong. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, people do that with animals as well. I mean, it's hard to believe, but they actually, cause most breeders, like you said, they want to make sure that if they're selling their animal, I know that you go to some breeders, you have to go through an interview process. The Humane Society is like that. You have to go down there, and if they don't feel like that pet is lined up with you in some certain way, then they won't give you the animal. So it's not like you just go down there and pick and say, I want that one. They're like, sure. So, which is great because they're looking after that animal. Well, for one thing, they don't want it back. They don't want you to, you know, have to give it back. So,
visit the breeder, go to the location, see what kind of place they're dealing with. See if you can meet the mother and the father, or at least the mother, you know, sometimes they may not have the male, you know, they may do, semen that's shipped in, and they may do artificial insemination on the female. That happens all the time. And if you're dealing with breeders that do artificial insemination, I used to be able to say AI. And everyone would be like, oh, artificial insemination. Now you can't say that. So artificial insemination, I mean, then you are dealing with puppies that are going to cost you thousands of dollars. So, you know, if you can get to know the people, you know, meet the at least the mother, then I think that you'll be going a long way into ensuring that what you're getting is legitimate.
How would you, for example, say a guy's got himself two chinchillas, right? And the female chinchilla is pregnant, okay? Because you can go down there and feel her belly and you can feel that there's some chinchillas in there, right? And so let's say somewhere around the 1st of May, she gives birth to four chinchillas, but let's just say they're dogs. And so all of a sudden you have these four puppies that, you know, people would pay really good money for because chinchillas are like $350, $400 a piece. If you go buy them an exotic pet place like Ed's Pet World, they're like $250, $300. So you would have these animals. So say you would have a litter of really, maybe somehow you have a litter of Shar Pei's. We'll use that. Okay. Cause I know Shar Pei's are expensive. Or Australian Shepherds, and you have these things and you don't want these pups and you want to sell them. What's the best way as a person who has no clue what the hell I'm doing, but I know they're worth some good time money. What's the best way to get rid of these animals or sell these animals, make sure they find a good home? And what do, as a seller, what do I have to do? What am I in the hook for?
I mean, social media is really good. Also, I still know people that get dogs off Craigslist.
Yeah.
So Craigslist, social media.
Do I have to give them the shots? Is there anything from a seller standpoint that, because people are going to ask me questions, what kind of question, or do I just say, listen, I've never done this before. I'm looking for $300 a piece. Have at them.
You don't have to do anything. But then again, if you want to sell the dogs, they're going to be more desirable if they've had at least one round of vaccines and they've been dewormed and they've been examined by a veterinarian. And you can say, look, you know, here are the vet records. They've been examined. They, at least right now, they appear healthy. They've had these vaccines. You're going to be able to probably sell them faster. Because you know, the older the dog gets, if it hasn't been to a veterinarian, if it hasn't had its vaccines, people are going to see that as a liability potentially.
And what is the cut? What is the cutoff for, is it 12 weeks, 14 weeks? What is it when they would have their last round of shots in order to sell it? Cause I know some people are like, we will not let this animal go until it's a certain age.
I mean, 16 or 20 weeks, you know, they should be fully vaccinated, but lots of them aren't, but you know, in a perfect world, 16, 20 weeks, they should be vaccinated.
Okay. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Some more breaking news coming early this morning. We'll get into in a second. It's a bit of breaking news. Can I do anything on the cat? Are we hear anything about Luna?
Anything they're not in there yet. So
you have a camera inside your operation room?
I do. I have a camera. It looks like they're still preparing.
Make sure they go all up the elbow, my friend. Wash it good now. Alabama House Committee has approved a bill. I guess you've seen this about pet abandonment. Did you know about this in the state of Alabama today?
I
didn't realize that Alabama ranks 49th out of 50 states in pet laws. Did you know that?
Oh, so we don't have many pet laws.
We have horrible pet laws here. We have terrible pet laws here. Not surprising at all. But evidently, we don't have a pet abandonment law here. In other words, if someone would come to your house and see an animal sitting outside with a rope around its neck for 3 days, there's nothing you can do about it. It's their animal, and that's the deal. Well, according to this pet abandonment now, if you decide that the animal has not been fed or at least taken care of over the course of a 72-hour period, the owner can be arrested, $6,000 fine, and a year in jail. It's a misdemeanor, but in other words, you can start calling on the neighbors saying, listen, something's not right. Which is nice because, I mean, we see all these videos of these animals that are out in the hot sun or out in the cold weather or whatever for days and days and days, and doesn't appear to be they're being fed. And if you feel like your neighbors are one of those people, you can actually call the cops on it. There's now a bill that can be introduced to actually have them arrested for it.
That's great. I hope it passes, as long as there's not a bunch of other stuff attached to it that, like, you know, you got to give your firstborn child away or whatever.
Exactly. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I got one more email question before I ask you about some rock and roll. There is a couple of absolute icons that are in the news that I want to ask you about because we talked about some music last week and it was really, really good. One woman asked me about info@TonyCurryRadio.net, Lily. She heard us talking about the eyes last week. You were mentioning, she said, what were you guys talking about? The eyes being split this way or this way. So we were talking about different colored eyes, but you were saying there's actually animals that have eyes that have two different colors in the same eye. Is that right?
Yeah. Two different colors in the same eye.
It's amazing what people hear, isn't it?
I think maybe she thought we were talking about like the pupils being like turned a different way. Like, well, I guess I'm misunderstanding what.
No, I guess she thought that. I think she thought you thought maybe it was brown on the top and blue on the bottom. Is that what it looks like?
It can be. Yeah.
And is that usually in both eyes or just one eye? Or
it can be in just one, or it can be in two. It all just depends on that DNA.
Okay.
And there can just be a little small like wedge that's blue, or a little small wedge that's brown, just like a small focal area. Or it can be, you know, half of the iris. And, you know, looking at the iris, it could be, you know, the left side could be all blue, or the top, you know, the most dorsal aspect or the top half could be blue and the bottom brown. So, I mean, it's crazy. There's all kind of variations.
Finally, Jeff down in Auburn wants to know, this is the first time we've gotten this question. How come we never hear about albino dogs?
Oh,
I've never heard of an albino dog. Have you?
Yeah, they exist. Yeah, they exist. Absolutely. Absolutely. They exist.
All breeds have albinos.
You know, I can't tell you that all breeds have albinos, but I mean, yeah, absolutely, they're albino.
You have a picture in your office of an albino dog? Yeah, pull some up because I've seen albino people, I've seen albino cats, I've seen albino alligators. We had one of those down at the Birmingham Zoo. I've seen albino ferrets. I've seen all albino guinea pigs, but I've never seen an albino dog before.
Okay, well, it's super rare. So like no pigment at all is extremely rare.
Yeah.
But there, you can have some degree of albinoism in dogs. So they may not be a total albino, but there are parts of their body that is. But yeah, that's why you never see them. I mean, it's possible, but it's just, it's super rare. Let me see what Google Images will give me. See, like this right here, this is not an albino dog. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a white dog.
It's just a white dog.
You can tell because it's got black eyes, right? They have red eyes if they're albino, right?
Correct. Okay. So this, here you go. Two Dobermans.
Oh, wow. See that's crazy.
So the pigment in that white Doberman.
That's crazy looking.
It's basically white.
Wow.
So like, look at that. And that's a beautiful dog.
It really is a beautiful dog.
Yeah. That's why you don't see it. I've never seen one in real life. I know they exist. Here's another one.
You have never seen an albino dog? Wow. What is that? Like a retriever?
It looks almost like a Vizsla.
So you never worked on an albino before?
No, never. they're impossible. You know, you just, I don't even know what the numbers would be, but I mean, it's super rare.
Yeah. All right. You ready to do some rock stuff real quick?
Yeah, man.
You got time to hear some rock and roll. First thing, absolutely. I was on Fox 6 this morning. Who's gotten more number one hits, Genesis or Phil Collins as a solo artist?
It's got to be Phil Collins. I don't even know if it's close.
It's not. Genesis has one song that was a number one. Do you want to take a stab at what that one song was?
Well, it's going to be with Phil Collins. So maybe it's,
if you get this,
what's the song?
Amazing.
Throwing It All Away.
Throwing It All Away is a great song, and I love that song, but that is not it. You want to take one more stab? It was, I will tell you this, it was the title track to one of their albums. It wasn't Abacab.
Was it with Phil as the lead singer?
Yes.
Land of Confusion?
No, that was close to Invisible Touch.
I should have known that.
Land of Confusion got up to number two, though. That was pretty doggone. That was based off that great video, too. That MTV video of Land of Confusion was really, really good. It was kind of crazy. Remember all the puppets, the Muppets thing?
Yeah.
Phil Collins had seven number one songs, including
Disney tunes.
Yeah, Disney tunes. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that Groovy Kind of Love actually made it to number one. I was like, really? Because that's not obviously one of my favorite songs from Phil Collins, but I like the guy to do a number one. But you know the crazy
that live thing? Album, the yeah. live album with the carousel on the front.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, my dad wore that album out, and I used to love it.
Yeah.
We were, you know, driving around in his
truck. What was that album?
It was like a live album from the late 80s.
Yeah. So evidently Phil Collins, first of all, did you see Mick Jagger last night on the Oscars? Mick Jagger
I saw a photo.
It's amazing. He's so stinking cool. He looks so good. It's amazing. I can't believe he's got an 8-year-old kid. Looks just like him. He has children that are 48 years apart. He's got 8 children and he's got children 48 years apart. And he was on the Oscars last night. And the guy looks like he could have run a marathon last night. He had super good. He's 81 years old.
And he bops around like he's got pep in his step.
He does. He looks like he's going to dance. I'm like, he looks like he could do a show last night. And he's 81 years old. I mean, half the congregation at my church are in their 60s and they got walkers. I mean, they got the tennis balls and the bottom of the walkers. And I'm like, here's this 81 dude. It's amazing. I mean, he's just got great genes. It really is. Phil Collins, on the other hand, is not 81. And he has recently come out. He did an interview with some UK publication. It was actually this past weekend. And they were asking him, you know, he did the Genesis thing. The last show was in the UK, London, I guess about a year and a half ago. It sold out. They did like 6 shows or something like that. And it was great. He had to sit the entire time. He has gone through something called drop foot, which is exactly what it sounds like. He's got something wrong with his right foot where he has a hard time lifting his foot so he can no longer play the drums. And of course, he's also gone through a myriad of substance abuse problems and everything else. Drinking issues, this, that, and the other. He went through a really messy divorce a couple of years ago from some Asian woman that was living with him for a long period of time. It was just really weird. Anyway, they asked him about, why don't you play anymore? And he said, I just don't have any inkling. I have no motivation, no love for going to do anything musically anymore. I don't feel like writing music. He says, I have a studio downstairs. And sometimes I think to myself, maybe I should go down to my studio and just pick up an instrument and start screwing around. He goes, I don't even want to do that. And he says, because I'm sick. He goes, I'm really sick, like really, really sick. So please pray for me. That came out a couple of days ago. So the amazing thing too, and we were going through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you and I were, a couple of weeks ago. I could not believe America is not in the Rock and Roll Fame. Phil Collins is in with Genesis in 2010, but Phil Collins is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist. That is, I was like, really? Are you sure? That's amazing.
It is. I mean, but I do think, I do enjoy his Genesis work more than I do his solo work. Like if there's a quote unquote Phil Collins song that I really love, it's actually a Genesis song that he just was the front man for.
Yeah.
I'm not a big I'm not a big Peter Gabriel Genesis guy.
I'm not either. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know Peter Gabriel was in Genesis until I got radio and started playing Shock the Monkey. And then people were like, yeah, that's the former singer of Genesis. I'm like, really? Cause I didn't even know that he sang with Genesis. And of course he was there for the Rock and Roll induction ceremony because he was part of the band back in 2010. Now, you know, it was one of those things where when a new Genesis song came out, we're a classic rock station, we were playing that song. I don't care what it was, you know, and the Abacabs, the Mamas, I mean, they played some incredible Follow You, Follow Me. We can go on and on and on. I mean, how great they were. And they were so methodical in their melodics. It was just, I mean, Rutherford came out with his own solo thing. He had a lot of success with his solo efforts as well. Of course, he had Paul Carrack singing some backup. But I agree with you that I like Phil a lot better with Genesis. So when Phil starts coming out with solo music, like In the Air Tonight, Mist Again, some of those things, you're like, okay, are we supposed to play that or not? And of course we were. But that was the Phil Collins of his genesis, if you will, of just leaving the band. And then all of a sudden he starts playing Groovy Kind of Love, started doing stuff with Philip Bailey, Easy Lover. Remember that song, Easy Lover, which was a big hit song. So he starts doing these songs like Disney songs in a classic rock station. We're like, we can't play this crap. You know, we can't play this Phil Collins stuff. Was it White Nights? What was the movie he did, Against All Odds?
That's huge, that's where Phil lost me.
Huge number one song, Against All Odds. Like, there's no way in hell we could play that song. In the Air Tonight, goodness gracious. I mean, that thing is still huge. A lot of teams play that for their intro music. I mean, it's fantastic. It's huge.
And that album's on, is it Another Side? Is that the name of that album? Or it's just his half of his head?
Oh,
yellow. I feel like it's called Another Side or something. Maybe that's Bob Dylan.
No, I think you might be right.
But Peter Gabriel Genesis, while you look into that, Peter Gabriel Genesis, like there are some like kind of prog, like that's early prog rock, you know?
Yeah.
And there are people that the lion, or is it the lamb, lays down on Broadway.
Hello, I Must Be Going.
Oh, that's the name of that album?
Hello Must Be Going, where it's just his side thing. He also did Face Value, No Jacket Required, which had Sussudio in it. A lot of people were like,
I love that song. A lot of people
hate that Phil Collins. But seriously, he also had A Trick of the Tail, and then you go back to Abacab and... there was one point, I think someone was talking about, I think it was Mike Deberly this morning, was saying that at one point back in the 80s, you could not go anywhere in the United States for more than 8 minutes without hearing a Phil Collins song.
I believe it.
So, but wait, I wanted to ask you, Phil Collins passes away tonight. He has not died, by the way, but if he does, is that a land moment for you? Is that like will you remember where you were when Phil Collins died? For me, it was kind of like, wow, because he's been a much bigger part of my life than I remember him being.
Yeah, I think I will remember because it's tied to like the memory of my dad, who's no longer alive. Mm-hmm. So, my dad loved Phil Collins. So, I think, cause it'll just be like, you know, like we always talk about, it'll be another like kind of core memory that I have that's tied to music, and the artist dies and you just have so many memories that are tied up in that.
Yeah. All right, my man, tell people how they can find you, please. Or just walk there like I do.
Sure. Yeah. You can call us at 208-0301. You can go to rossbridgevet.com and you can contact us there, or you can email us rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
By the way, I'm starting a Bible study group this summer with my son. He's coming back from college, and I'm asking some of my clients, Michael Coleman's aboard. We're going to meet on Wednesday. So I'm going to hit you up. We may like after work.
Oh yeah. I don't work on Wednesday. So there is no after
Wednesday.
Work
we're going to do a little Bible study. We're going to open it up and we'll give you some more details as we get a little closer, but I'll start that here in a few weeks. So I love you, brother. Take care of yourself, man.
That'd be great.
We'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right. Love you, man.
See you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.